Well, good morning again. Welcome.
Good morning.
And we're continuing on in our series in the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to talk about our daily bread. And this morning I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6, 8 through 15, NIV, and then we'll read John 6, verse 28 through 35. So I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able to. Again, I'll start at Matthew 6, verse 8 through 15, and then we'll turn over to John and read from 6, verse 28 through 35. Matthew 6, verse 8 reads, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I'm going to turn over to John chapter 6, starting at verse 28. Excuse me, John 6, verse 28. Then they asked him, "What must we to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Let's pray. God, thank you for this time that we have to sit before you and to come and worship you. Thank you for being our Father and our King and our Lord, and we do want to lift up your name this morning, and we do want your will to be done, and Lord, we do pray to give us this day our daily bread. Lord, will you help us do that boldly, not because we're great, but because you are. So Lord, now we pray that you prepare our hearts to receive your word by your Spirit. Whatever you want me to say, I say. Whatever you don't, don't, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So give us this day our daily bread. Our petition has finally arrived. We finally are getting to our request of God, our ask, our need. And yet it was not until we reordered our hearts before God that we come with our petition, our request. And as Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, we call this the Lord's Prayer, but really it's the disciples' prayer. As Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, he's showing the importance of humbly coming before the Lord because he is our Father, our Father. We have been adopted into his family, so we have access. The first question I asked at the beginning of our Father is, when we pray, how do we know that we can be heard? It's because we have been adopted. And then from there, as we recognize him as Father, and we have this adoption, we are part of his family because of the work of Christ, all while lifting up his name, hallowed be your name, praising his name, setting apart his name, lifting him up, admiring his power, then Jesus shows us the importance of asking God to bring his kingdom here to earth and asking that our desire is to do his will, your will be done. Jesus is first teaching that in prayer, we are coming in to lean into first the relationship that we have with Christ because of Christ. Before anything else, our Father. And I know that many of you have shared over the last couple of weeks if you had struggled with seeing God as a father, and then for some of you, seeing God as all powerful and not being so scary. And I think that is all of us, and that's why that whole pendulum or going up the ladder and recognizing that He is our Father, He is all powerful. We desire His will to be done, but to be honest, we just kind of mess it up, don't we? And yet, here we are with our request, our petition. And now, as we come before the Lord and we ask Him, do you do it out of guilt, compulsion? Do you feel comfortable? Are you worried that you're treating Him like a genie? Where do you fall in line when you present your request? I know for some, you mention, I don't ask Him for anything. He knows everything. And then for some, I give Him my laundry list. And then probably we all fall somewhere in the middle there. So as we have moved from going into making our request, I do want to point out before we move on, I think this is important. Notice that we are asking for our daily bread before we ask for forgiveness. Isn't that interesting? Two thoughts on that quickly, robbing from next week. First, coming to God and calling Him Father has already established our relationship with Him based on forgiveness. But we are not only crying out, we are calling Him Father. We have been adopted. Not only we've been adopted because of Jesus, but we have this forgiveness. Second, I think it can be easy for us humans to get so caught up in what we have done wrong that we can miss sight of God's heart and view of us through Christ. I think it's real. I mean, just think about your life. When you sin, depending on how quickly you come back to the Lord, do you ever feel guilty? No, I hammer this home probably because it's just a normal struggle I think everyone faces, but we're not asking for our forgiveness, we're asking for our daily bread. That is our first request after we glorify God. But it's because we are forgiven. I believe this also reinforces God as both Father and Holy. And because you are accepted by God because of His Son, we can confidently come before the Lord and present our request. And to be honest with you, give us this day our daily bread. Throughout the history of the church, there has been much discussion on the meaning of this bread, our daily bread. Is it a prayer only for spiritual bread? Is it a prayer for food, physical needs? What is it? And people have argued back and forth, and it's been an ongoing debate. And part of the reason, I think, is because this word gives us this day our daily bread. That's the only place in the Bible that says daily bread. Now, it says bread everywhere in the Bible for sure. But this word that they use for bread couldn't be found anywhere. And actually, when historians and theologians have been studying this word, they were looking and looking and looking and looking and could not find anything that was written, even in Greek literature, in poems, in classics, in anything. And it really confused people of why this word bread, it just means bread, our daily bread, that statement couldn't be found anywhere else. It wasn't until the late 80s, and this is very anticlimactic, so don't think I'm trying to build up something that's they found on papyrus, on this little piece of reeded paper, a little list that said daily bread, and it was a shopping list. That's it. It's just a shopping list. It's nothing that exciting. We spent centuries arguing about what it meant. And originally, when this phrase was used by Jesus, He was simply taking a lady's shopping list to the store. Although for us, we have Costco and we, you know, buy toilet paper in bulk and eggs. Well, maybe not eggs anymore. You know, we buy a whole bunch of stuff in bulk and we hope not to go to the store ever again for the month, right? But even now in Europe and in other countries, every day you buy fresh produce, fresh food, and you prepare your meal. Every day you are dependent on going and getting. So this thought of this daily bread is this daily dependence on our shopping list. But is this a spiritual bread or a physical bread? And the answer is yes. It is both. It is both spiritual and it is both physical. There have, again, been movements throughout church history to ignite or to ignore or to deny the physical needs. We try to separate the physical with the spiritual. Again, I mentioned last week briefly, God, I don't see that he had ever intended for us to separate them. It's both. Even if you want to go back into Genesis, now I'm borrowing from a future series, but Genesis 2, 16 through 17, let me just read that for you. But the Lord God warned him, Adam, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. What did he say? Eat. So eating is not a product of the fall or of sin. And it's not just spiritual. I mean, Adam and Eve didn't just spiritually eat the fruit of the tree. So eating has always been a part of what God had made us for. I think a big part of that is when do you feel most close in fellowship with someone, sharing a meal with people? Maybe here in some ways when you invite someone over and you have a meal, or you go out and you have a meal, that it's a shared experience. But even if you go back to Dr. Tom Wilson would talk at our men's breakfast, which was great. You should go, by the way. He was talking about Zacchaeus. He invited Jesus, or Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today. And everyone was shocked. Why? Because he was having a meal. A meal meant for them at this time, and even in many Eastern countries now, to share a meal was more significant than just eating. It was gathering together, being with, in agreement. So God had always intended for us to have physical needs, to be dependent on him. So eating was a part of our design. So when we ask, give us this day our daily bread, we are asking God to be part of the fellowship of God. So give us this day our daily bread. God, give us our needs. One pastor wrote, if we're honest, for most of us, the problem is not that we will have too little food in the coming days, but that we will eat too much food. For most Americans, the problem is not living day to day without enough food, but discipling or disciplining ourselves that we may not eat too much of it. So give us this day our daily bread. And really what my hope this morning is, we're just going to look at just a couple of those phrases and what does it mean and how can we apply that to our prayer life. The whole mission, the whole purpose of going through this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the Disciples' Prayer, whatever you want to call it, is just to help enrich our time as we pray to God, that it doesn't just become a routine. It's to slow down and enjoy God. So again, we're going to look at these phrases. And hopefully just for this morning, my prayer has been this, because it's been a prayer of my own this week, is that I'm comfortable requesting what I think I need to God and not feeling guilty about it. Philippians 4:6, Paul tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It doesn't say only ask for spiritual things, but to present your request to God. If he is Father, can't we come to him as Father? So that first word, give. Ooh, we're really telling God to give us something? Does anyone have a problem with that? Does that sound weird, the way that I just presented? I mean, I do, honestly. I mean, if one of my kids, Dad, give me. Oh, bro, what do you mean give you? But that may sound a bit too aggressive or too strong or unholy or whatever word you want, but we're not saying, God, hey, give me, give me, give me. We're not just storming into heaven, kicking down the gate saying, here's my request, give. But remember, we are approaching our Father. We're asking for what we need, or at least our perceived need. And we'll talk about that in a moment. I think some of the saddest things a father or a mother, for that instance, can hear from their child is this. Dad, Mom, I was going to ask you, but I did not want to bother you. Or, I was going to ask you, but you were so busy, so I tried to figure it out on my own. Or perhaps, Maybe you face this. I was going to ask, but I didn't know if you would care about that.
Oh,
ouch. Well, to be honest, I don't care about that, but I care about you, right? So to be clear, just for the sake of being a father, I don't want my children to be gone all day at school or sports or whatever they're doing, and then come home and say, hey, Dad, give me this and give me that, and what's for dinner, and can I have a snack? No, but remember, again, the first part of this prayer is our Father. We have started off in the relationship. To come in and ask God, give, is really pleasing to God. I think this is such a hard concept for half of us, I would say. It really is pleasing to God to hear our request, yes. He cares for you. That's why we read the very first part of the Lord's Prayer. And verse 8. Do not be like them, talking about the pagans, the babbling on, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So he knows. And he wants us to come to him because he is our Father and he cares so much. So God, it essentially, what I'm working through is saying, God, I trust you so much. I know that you are so holy, that you love me so much. I know I can come to you with anything. I believe it's not only realigning our hearts to put him in this proper place at the top of our lives, but it's to recognize our proper place in his presence. Total dependence. Again, we're not saying, God, I expect that you give me this and you give me that on this time of day, specifically, yes, right here at this time. Again, if a child comes to his parents and says, hey, give me, give me, give me, fill in the blank, that's one thing. But if a child comes in and says to her parents, to his parents, hey, here's my situation. Dad, Mom, I need your help. I don't know what to do. This seems so much bigger than what I could ever imagine me handling. You know, when little kids are like 5, their big, huge problems that they can't face is the boogeyman under their bed. Or they can't get the little battery cover off to replace the batteries. But it's the end of the world. Maybe this just recently happened in my home. I just can't open it. No, go away. Child, I'm busy. No, let me show you how to do it. But for them, at that moment, that was the biggest need in their life. And then, of course, we grow up and find that our needs are much, much larger than replacing batteries. All throughout Scripture, we hear Christ say to us, seek. He tells us to knock. He tells us to ask. But why are we afraid to do that? Or maybe we do that privately, but not publicly. But then again, we are praying this prayer together collectively. So never be afraid or embarrassed to cast all of your cares on him. He cares for you. Do we really believe those verses? I mean, I didn't lay them all out this time, but seek, knock, ask, cast your cares on him. He really, really cares for you. I think if we practice just presenting our requests, just saying, here it is, Lord, I think that really helps us recognize him as Father and as Lord and all-powerful. Coming to him in the Lord's Prayer is coming from a position of humility. Let's just take God out of it for a moment. Think about when you need help with something. You do not ask for help because why? You lack humility to ask for help. I'm not going to ask for directions. I can lift this couch all by myself. I don't need to fill in the blank. It's a lack of humility. Actually coming before the Lord and asking him and asking for your daily bread really repositions not only him on top of his kingdom, but us below him requesting. Yet on the other side, there can be a temptation to treat God like a genie in the lamp. God is not a genie. And the more time you spend with him, the quicker we become aware that we don't even want him to be a genie. Just for a moment, just if you thought about it. If you had three wishes, which is the classic genie moment, bottle or cup or cave or whatever, you have three wishes. I spend a lot of time looking at why three, don't know why. There's rules to magic. You can't say, I wish for a million more wishes, right? You can't wish for someone to be dead, and you can't wish for someone to love you. Like, throughout all of history, throughout all of different regions, all the way from the Germanic to the, anyways, all that I could see, those were three main rules, right? Okay, good, fine. I don't know if you care about fiction or whatever. I do, obviously. I wouldn't have brought it up. But there's these rules that you have to follow. And one of the things that I've noticed by just spending probably way too much time looking into this is that each time there was a wish, it was never granted properly. And at the very end, the hero or heroine always hoped for, wished for, they never had the wishes. Now, if you want to put it to practical sense, that's why I was reading over 87% of the people who win the lottery wish they never had. But we don't want to treat him like a genie. We can sometimes. And honestly, each and every one of us, if we were granted three wishes, would have all wasted them by 4 years old. Right? Just for a moment, think about it. Think about what you really wished for or what you really prayed for earnestly when you were a kid. Right? 90-95% of the things that you wished for was so lame, let's be honest. So wasteful. I remember as a kid, I prayed. I didn't believe in real magic. I didn't believe in wishes. Wasn't supposed to, but you could pray. I prayed, and I confirmed this with my brother. He confirmed I'm a weirdo. I prayed for a magical shovel, even though I didn't believe in magic, so I could dig holes all the way to China. What a waste of a wish. Right? But think about the things. Now get away from wishes. God's not a genie. But think about the things that you had prayed for as a kid. Think about the things that just kept you up at night. And if you think that you would do better now that you're older and wiser, let's just quickly consider, real quick, if you went back through your life, if you were a follower of Christ growing up, aren't you thankful that God did not answer your prayer requests as a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, 15-year-old, 25, 30? You know, the age that we currently at, we think that we're doing all right. We look back 5-10 years and think, oh, what an idiot. At least I do. Like, man, when I was 30, I was dumb. When I was 20, I was dumb. When I'm 80, I'm going to think I was 70 if I was dumb. I mean, you just, perspective. So it's not coming before God and treating him like a genie, or again, borrowing from babbling on, we have to find out the secret pattern of prayer. We have to do the right things like it's a quest in order to get this lamp or get God's attention. We're simply coming before and saying, Our Father, here's my request. And yet, sometimes they're actual needs. And sometimes even those prayer requests that we had as kids were real significant needs. Yet at the same time, as we present a request, God is aware of our actual need, and he's also aware that sometimes our interpretation of the need is not quite right. Sometimes we see a situation and we think we know exactly what we need, but it's really our interpretation of the need. And that goes back to the whole thing of what we are praying for. God, here's what I think that I need. Here's the situation. You know it better. I only can interpret it in my limited view as a human, and I think that I need it. So give, that's our boldness. Give us. Us is the very next word. It's not a self-focus. It's not give me, give me, give me. This is a prayer that's prayed together. Give us. The whole prayer about us together. Our Father, give us. We're praying together. We're asking the Lord for what is needed among us. Even in our independent requests, there's still a sense of us. And I have found that prayer requests as a community is often answered in the community. You know, you ask someone, are there any prayer requests? Yes, I'm having a hard time finding whatever. Someone there says, how convenient. I just so happen to have one. Also note, being part of a community of believers is that we get to see the need. Sometimes God uses us to answer the prayer requests. Here's a quick true story. When I was working for Kia, so whenever the Kia van came out, God bless vans, and there was a problem in the first prototype of the sliding doors popping open while you drove on the freeway. That's not good. Just in case you didn't know, I had the great luxury of being the person who was supposed to figure out why. Well, I was driving and I was out in the middle of nowhere. I was driving back doing a test with somebody else, and we come into a gas station, and there happened to be this lady with three kids in her car who was driving one of our prototypes, and she said, can you help me? And I said, sure. She said, look, she started the car and the doors kept opening up. She said, I can't drive. My children, yes, I understand. So I fixed it. You know what the problem is that we came to found out? Is that the handle wasn't very good, and kids would shove Crayolas and markers and pens under it and hold the door open. How simple was that? So I fixed it, knowing that, and then that ended up being, we changed the cover, it doesn't matter, whatever. It's fixed now, drive a Kia van, that's fine. And she said this, she said, you're an answer to prayer, you're an angel. And I said, I may be an answer to prayer, but I'm definitely not an angel in no sense. But you see that was her prayer request. I mean, if you were stuck out in the middle of nowhere, your doors wouldn't close, and you're praying, oh God, help me close these doors. And it just so happens to be the one person in the whole world who was supposed to figure it out. Actually, I was part of a team, but you see that? That was a real need, a real prayer request. Asking for our bread means more than just food. We are praying for the whole physical and spiritual well-being. Not just simply for the well-being physically, but our well-being for the sake of God's glory. We're asking God, give us this day our daily bread. We're asking for this us, so that way in that we can give God glory. So when people say, wow, how were you able to hang on? How could you possibly do that? Because God supplied my need and then some. So give us this day. I think this is the key part of the verse. This day, our daily bread. We are not coming before God and asking Him. The prayer does not say this, give us this year our yearly bread. Or give us this month. Give us this quarter. Give us this day. Actually, God, can you just bless me for the next 5 years? And I'll drop in and I'll see you and check in with you. There might be a temptation to think, hey, that's not so bad. I mean, we are supposed to save. We're supposed to pray, be prepared for the rainy day. There could be a temptation to say, God, can you just bless me for the next 5 years of daily bread? Now, we may not say that, but maybe what we're saying is, God, can you just let me know what I'm supposed to do for the next 5 years? Or the next year? God, if you reveal to me what your will is for the next year, I will be faithful. God, I'm asking for the yearly supply of blessing of bread. I'll cover my daily needs. We almost treat it like like having a hamster and you go on vacation and you count out however many scoops that they need and how much water. Well, what actually happens to the hamster? I'm glad you asked. They eat about 80% in the first day. They gorge themselves. And then for the remaining time, they have a little bit of water and a little bit of food. I think we would do the same thing. I like what C.S. Lewis wrote. This is a quote from it. He said, relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing had yet been done. Every day. And again, this goes back to maybe you're trying to rationalize, if I just pray this big prayer, God, just cover my whole life or the whole month or the whole week, then I don't have to bother him again. See, I don't want to bother God. I know that he cares. But if he gives me my week supply or my monthly supply, my yearly supply, I can plan for the future. And to be honest, if we actually did that, and that's how God worked, after a couple of days, maybe it's a couple of weeks, we would start to think that God doesn't care. We would think that perhaps he's more like the parent who just gives us stuff instead of hangs out with us. I mean, as a parent, for those of you who are a parent, those of you who had parents, you know this. You can't supplement the relationship with your kids with stuff. They want to be with you. Even your weirdo introvert teenager wants to be with you every once in a while, or your weirdo extrovert who wants to be with his or her friends all the time. The relationship is so important. We would like to pray to God to give me right now so I can see everything, a lifetime supply, so I can plan it out. Then I'll believe you. But Jesus tells us, no, what you need is to pray every day for your bread. Every day, come before him. Every day, his grace. Every day, his mercy. That's why so often people, when we see other people go through a tragedy and we think or we may say, wow, I could never go through that. Actually, what we're saying is, no, I can't go through that right now. I never want to go through that tragedy. But yet, if I face it, then God will give me that daily bread to face it. It's what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness. See, they left Egypt, the promised land. They complained shortly thereafter. They even said it would be better for us to be in captivity because at least we ate better. They complained about food, and then, well, they complained to Moses, and then they complained about food. Then Moses came to God. So then what did God do? He gave them manna, which rained down from the sky. And manna means, what's that? It's like, who's on first, what's on second? What's that? Yeah, that's exactly it. What's that? But the manna that was given to the Israelites only lasted for that day. If the Israelites were tempted to keep it longer than a day, immediately it would rot and spoil. Except the day before the Sabbath where they could collect enough for 2 days. But if they collect enough for 3 days, that third day supply would rot. So why? Why come to God every day? His mercies are new every day. It's our dependence on him every day. It's an opportunity to start off our day by saying, Father. Naturally, some of your minds might to jump again. Well, we have to save for the future, retirement. It's not talking about that. Plan ahead, but come to God every day. The problem with asking for a lifetime of supply of God's grace is it wouldn't be grace at all. It wouldn't be a relationship. So I like Proverbs 30, verse 7 through 9. It says, two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. But give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Give me neither poverty nor riches. So God wants us to grow in our faith in him. And this faith in him asks, has us asking God every day. Instead of 1,000 days, God wants us to see that our lives are more fragile than we think, and he's much kinder than we could ever imagine. And even when you go home in the next hour and your refrigerator is full of food and you go out and maybe even your retirement account looks stable, or still every day coming to God each day asking for our bread. This isn't a mindless ritual. This isn't a chanting. It's just a confession that our lives are much more fragile than we pretend that they are. And then finally he says, bread, give us this day our daily bread. So it's really two big categories, physically and spiritually. We're asking for bread. We're not asking for cake or steak. We're not asking for extravagance. I'm not saying cake or steak is bad. I'm just simply saying we need to start from a place where we humbly request what we need for this day. I mean, I find myself praying all the time. Yesterday I was putting together bunk beds. And there's these little brackets with these little screws. And if you're missing a bracket, you just want to cry. Because then you have to go to the store. And I was one short, and I was, oh, it's like late. And I have a sermon to write. I mean, I prayed. I thought, well, maybe it just might be in the car. And I opened up the hatch, and there it was, smiling at me as big as can be. So did I pray for that little bracket? Yes, I did. And before you're too concerned, I did say, thank you, Jesus. He cares about those. Now, if he magically threw it down, I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying, I knew that I could ask him. And you know, if it wasn't there, I would have went to the store. And that would have been okay too. But I asked. So bread then is first just the necessity for life. But surely Jesus is not just talking about our physical bread, what we need. Again, back in Genesis, we were always meant to eat. But also our spiritual sustenance. It's repeated again and again all throughout Scripture. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And praying for our daily bread means we ask God for all the things necessary, not just to live, but to live a life of godliness. But notice God instructs us here, what I want you to pray. I want you to pray for your daily bread. It also means pray for your clothing. It means praying for food and water just to live another day. It means all of that. God cares about the body and the soul. We should not think that his concerns for the body or the soul outweighs another one. And sometimes I think there's a temptation to think that if we just ignore the bodily needs, what we need to sustain, we think that we're a better Christian for it. But this bread, again, has always been a symbol all throughout the Bible. It's a symbol of God's presence and his faithfulness. That's what manna was. It fell from sky to show that God was there. One of the cries of the Israelites were, like I had mentioned, it would be better for us to be in slavery because you're not here. So he supplies manna. Then you fast forward. Then in the temple there was the showbread, or the bread of presence. In the Bible, showbread was a food offering of 12 unleavened loaves of bread that was kept on the table in the temple of Jerusalem. It was a symbol of God's provision, and it was also a symbol of his presence and that he was acting and caring. So the showbread here, I'll just tell you in like 30 seconds, this word for showbread means, technically should be translated, bread of the faces. What do we say? The face of God. Or the presence of God is what it translates to. So there was 12 loaves. So these professional bread makers who were chosen by the Levites would make these loaves of bread. 12 loaves to arrange in two rows of six. And they look like stacks of pancakes. And they weighed, and just so you're not thinking like little Wonder Bread or anything, like pizza, big, huge pizza, they weighed about 5 pounds. Okay, now we're talking about some bread. And they would stack, and they would present it right on the Sabbath. And then there was this rule, because there's always rules, that the new fresh bread had to be pushed on the table to push off the old bread, because at no point could there not ever be bread on the table. Not because God was hungry, but God was always present. So they would push it over, and then there's frankincense, and they put it in these little spoon-looking things, and for us, it just looked like someone was preparing a meal that no one would eat. But actually, the real reason was it was the place of Holy of Holies to confirm that God was there, to show that he was present, that he was always available. It was a symbolic acknowledgement that God was the source of Israel's life and nourishment. And then at the very end, the bread that was pushed off the table into the baskets became the bread that the priests lived on for the rest of the week. Levites weren't allowed to own land, and they weren't allowed to have their own food. They were completely dependent upon the people supplying the needs at the temple that God would give them. So then we fast forward, and then Jesus says that he is the bread of life. So he went from being the manna that was supplied in the wilderness to the bread that was supplied on the table of his presence to the actual living God. So when we are praying for our daily bread, what we're praying is, Jesus, we know that you're present, that you're here, that you care for us, that we can present our request to us, and we're completely dependent on you, and we're okay with that. So in closing, I just would say just three words to get to the heart of what Jesus wants in this, our fourth petition, if you will. Teaches us a spirit of contentment, a spirit of gratitude, and a spirit of dependence. I'll just briefly touch on those. Contentment. God, whatever extra you have given me, may I be generous to share, and if you were to take it away, let me praise you anyways. I am content with what you have given me. When I am content and thankful for my daily bread, it becomes more and more valuable to me. I enjoy things more when I recognize that. And then for the gratitude, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Do you not hear that? Not just some good gifts, but every good gift, everything that you have is a good gift. The more and more time I've spent on the Lord's Prayer the last couple of months, the more and more I have come to appreciate that really what this prayer is a more dependence on the relationship. I do hope that everyone has this kind of a relationship here on earth, not to replace God, but a relationship where when you get together, you're just better for it. Do you have people like that in your life? I love coming home. It's fun. I especially like when my youngest thinks I'm the best person in the world. It makes me... The dog and Nora runs and jumps on me all at the same time. Those kind of relationships that you're excited, that's how we should be with God. God, today, our daily bread. And I've noticed, too, that part of this contentment and gratitude and dependence on God is the times that I've enjoyed the meal the most is whenever there was a season without. You know, if you've ever fasted before, the first couple of meals are so good. You're doing something, you're doing a sport, you're working out in the yard, you're doing something and you're so thirsty, and then you drink, oh, how refreshing. The times I've enjoyed my bed the most has been after a week long at youth camp. You know, I'm now at the age where my head hurts if I don't have a nice pillow. You know, I enjoy being around my wife if I've been gone a week. Enjoyed my kids more when I've been gone. So being without makes me appreciate more. So when we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we are just saying, Lord, here are my requests. You already know what I need. But really, when I present my request, I am hoping and praying that I will depend on you. One theologian wrote, he said, a final word of dependence. Most of us pray at some point and give thanks for our food. It's a habit, whether privately or with our family. Thank you, God, for this food we're about to eat. We do that. How many of us, however, ask God for our food? Now, we tend to assume that there will be food. We expect not just daily bread. We expect stores full of bread. And he would go on and say, and in one sense, this is a tremendous blessing. We live in one of the richest parts of the country, many of us, in one of the richest nations in the world, in the richest time in history on this planet. And it is a blessing to have such abundance, but it's also a profound danger. More than most, any people who ever lived were tempted to forget God. And when we pray this prayer, it reminds us of our dependence upon God. The word daily suggests we pray this prayer or something like it every day. And we say, Dear Father, I need your help today. I need your blessings today. I need your provisions today. That was Albert Mohler. So, would you come to God with those requests? Will you honor him with those requests? Will you confidently come in, not because you're so great, but because Jesus has made a way, and say, God, give us this day our daily bread? And that's what Jesus is teaching us, that we can present a request because his grace and his mercy are new every day, and we can be dependent on him. So we're going to sing a few more songs of worship to him. We're going to receive communion together. You're welcome to receive communion if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And as we hold the bread in our hands and the cup in our hands and we receive communion, just consider what our requests are. And if you feel comfortable enough asking for whatever it is. And yes, sometimes God will answer it exactly how we want or differently, but that's not the point. Really, what we're saying is, give us this day our daily bread. God, we know that you are more than capable of sustaining our life, physically and spiritually. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to come and to worship you. And you are our Father, and we do want to hallowed be your name. Set your name on high. Lord, we do pray for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done. Thank you that your Son has already come to make a way, and now we live with your Spirit in us, and we look forward to the day of your return or when you call us home. But until that day comes, Lord, we do recognize that we need you every day. Every day we need you. So we do ask for our daily bread, not just my daily bread, but ours collectively as a body, as a kingdom. Lord, we also recognize that even means that you're the one who fills our lungs to breathe, that has our heart pumps. You're the one, you're the reason why we can come and just ask and request. And Lord, we don't want to treat you like a genie. Lord, but also we don't want to be scared to present a request. So wherever we're at in this pendulum swing of our relationship with you, we do pray that we're right there, center, resting in you. And for anyone who's struggling with requests or anyone who feels like maybe they've asked for the year's supply, we thank you that you know exactly what we need. So Lord, as we sing more songs to you, God, and prepare our hearts to receive communion, we just bless you, we thank you. And we are thankful for our daily bread. We love you, in Jesus' name, amen.